Good morning, everyone. January 6, 8 a.m., Barnes County Commission meeting. Roll call, please.
Mike.
Here.
Bill.
Here.
Pete.
Here.
Sean.
Here.
Vicki.
Here.
Let's all stand by saying the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Any new corrections or agendas anybody's aware of? If not, Scott, is that your name?
Yes.
Okay, come on up.
All right, well, good morning. Thank you guys for the opportunity to get to visit with you a little bit today. My name is Scott Fenrich. I'm with Rivera Insurance.
Okay.
And what I'm here today to talk about is I met with, been in touch with Julie and Carol over the back and forth a little over a year. And most recently, I've gotten a copy from them of your guys' current insurance policies with the idea of looking through it and saying, hey, in my experience, there's oftentimes a lot of ways to do things a little better and to be able to save some dollars, certainly. And so after reviewing that, I met with Carol and Julie and went through my findings. And the takeaway was, hey, this is, you know, some stuff that would probably be good to bring to your guys' attention to see if it'd be something you'd be interested in. So I've worked in insurance for over 15 years. And I want to point out, too, that over half of that has been specifically working with North Dakota political subdivisions and local government. Okay, commercial insurance, a lot of times you think of different types of businesses and stuff like that. Barnes County, or for a county, a city, a school district, that's local government, it's a unique coverage, and it's something that I've worked in for, you know, over 8 years. And so this is something I'm really, really familiar with, and I love working in because I understand it, and I know how to make it work the best way for you, or Barnes County in this case. And so what my goal here today is I just wanted to identify some of these opportunities that I identified and share them with you. Certainly, any questions that come up, please ask. And then at the end, I'll kind of explain where, if there were to be a desire to make any type of change, what that looks like and how that happens. So, and before I start, too, I want to be very clear. So you guys are insured with the North Dakota Insurance Reserve Fund, NDRF.
Yeah.
In no way am I suggesting that there is a better alternative than NDRF. NDRF was built for North Dakota political subdivisions, 100%. What I'm suggesting is that the NDRF coverage is not simply just a blanket where the same coverage is good for Barnes County, is good for Valley City Parks and Rec, is good for the city of Fargo, is good for the city of Regents, or whatever it might be. There's a lot you can do with these coverages to make sure that they're fitting or are tailored to each individual member. And that's what I'm seeing here, where it's like, you have all of this, and it's like, there's areas where we can really tighten this up and improve this, save money, and better protect you guys for the big, scary stuff that you want to be protected against. So again, I'm not suggesting anything other than NDRF. What I'm suggesting is if you guys were interested, it would be in me or Rivera as the acting agent. So you keep everything in place, but we have the ability to use our expertise to really make this what you guys need it to be. So if you wouldn't mind turning to page 3, you're going to see it says general liability. There's 4 different sections here I'll cover with you. General liability is without a doubt, the most important part coverage for the county. This coverage is going to protect the county in the event of any type of a claim or lawsuit that's brought against Barnes County. As you guys can see kind of in the middle at the top there, your current limit is limit of liability or protection you have is $3 million. NDRF requires that you carry at least a minimum of $2 million, but they offer up to $10 million. Now, in my experience, what's really important is sitting down with each member and saying, hey, let's look at the risks that you guys have. What are the types of risks that have the highest exposure to make sure that we're protecting against those? When you're talking about a county, you've got law enforcement, right? You've got a sheriff's department. And in this case, you guys have a jail facility as well. So when you think about a wrongful death, excessive force claim, you know, a fatality in the jail, those are the types of situations that can draw those big types of claims where you have plaintiff attorneys out of Minneapolis that are suing for $5.5 million. well, if we have a situation where Lawrence County has $3 million of coverage, let's just say there was a verdict for $5.5 million, you know, the county would be responsible to come up with that additional $2.5 in that scenario. And I can promise you, if that were to happen, you know, knowing that we could get in front of that, then you could likely have adequate coverage for $1,500 bucks a year versus paying $2.5 million out of your pocket. Just, again, having those conversations, not suggesting that that's what you have to do, but just making sure that you're aware of that, and if it is something that you wanted to entertain, absolutely it's an option for you. One other thing on the bottom there you're going to see is, I am unaware, because I don't have control over this, to know if you guys are taking advantage of this or not, but there's a One State, One Cybersecurity initiative, which I'm willing to guess you guys are complying with 100%, and you just simply need to get the credit for it. And if that's the case, I know I visited with Julie and stuff on this, you guys are on the state system, there's likely a credit, 4% of your general liability with where you guys are currently at. It's a very simple save process to just give you guys the credit, which would cut 4% off of your general liability premium, which in this case is about $2,400. So that's pretty significant. So wanted to point that out. If you turn to the next page, the business auto, this is one I was kind of excited to talk to you guys about too. You guys have certainly a good-sized fleet of vehicles of all sorts. One thing that I recognize when looking at this is you guys have very low deductibles, which is awesome. You know, if you have an accident, whether it's a collision or a comp claim, you know, you're only going to be responsible for a small portion of that loss. You know, $100 in a comp claim if you hit a deer or a pheasant or if there's hail, or a collision claim, $500. But I always ask my insurance too, well, that's great, but at what cost? You know, and by what I'm saying is, if we even just look as an option to find out, if we increase those to $500, or to $1,000, let's just say, yes, we're going to be paying more in those situations where we have a claim from a deductible. But what if it's saving you $10,000 a year? You would have to be incurring, you know, 12 to 15 claims a year, which you're not. And so in that case, you just run the figures and you go, this is an opportunity to save some significant premium for you guys and for the county. So you're going to see on the bottom there, those are some examples of similar situations that I've seen. Again, if it was something that we were interested in, I would run all of those figures for you, bring them directly to your attention with multiple options to see if there's one that, again, is tailored or fit for the best for the county. If you turn the page here, the next one is our commercial inland marine. Inland marine coverage is mobile equipment. Okay, it's things that don't stay stationary in one spot. For you guys, that can be big ticket items like graders. It can be bobcats. It can be, you know, implements for those. It can be attachments. It can also be equipment for the sheriff's department, radios, things like that. You guys right now have all of your inland marine on a schedule. You have 396 items on that schedule. Right now, if you have items that are not on that schedule, let's just say if a department head goes and switches out a new blade for, for plowing or what it might be, if that's not reported or hasn't been reported and you have a claim on a piece of equipment like that, if it's not on that list specifically with its serial number, it's not covered, period. The alternative to that is the blanket option, which has been available for about 6 or 7 years. And what that does is it takes those 396 items that you guys have valued at almost $6.5 million, and it organizes them and says, let's put those into four different buckets of coverage. And it's going to eliminate that schedule. So in that same hypothetical situation I told you where somebody switches out a piece of equipment and we don't get updated and we have a loss, you are covered because we don't have a schedule that we abide by anymore. It's a huge advantage of making sure that we're filling in those gaps so things don't fall through and we don't miss anything. And again, I've seen small items where it's a $1,500 piece of equipment. I've seen the same thing on items that have been over $100,000. And again, the claim gets turned in and we go, hey, we don't have this on the schedule. There is no coverage for it. So this is a very easy option to correct that. And from a cost standpoint, it's usually pretty dang close to apples to apples. I've seen in about half the situation, it could be a couple dollars higher. I've seen in situations where it's a couple dollars lower. So the price really isn't like a consequence for going to that. And then the last one for you guys too is, of course, just the property. I know you guys have the, you know, the new jail and stuff, but with what we've seen in the last handful of years, property valuations continue to be really volatile, and it's really, really important that we stay on top of valuing your buildings and your contents to making sure that if there was a loss, you guys have adequate coverage in place for those. That's something where, with my background, I go through and review those absolutely every year with you guys to make sure that we're keeping up with that, as well as reviewing all of the other coverages as well. From a service standard, I at a minimum would be meeting with you guys at any time that you would like, at any meeting like this, or sitting down with Carol or Julie and going through things at any time. I think it's really important, minimum, to go through this a couple of times a year on my side for you guys. And so that would certainly be a part of that. Any questions on, I know I kind of threw a lot of coverage stuff at you there. Is there anything that pops up for questions from you guys?
The blanket covered option, would you like audit that list every year to make sure that our dollar amount was adequate?
Exactly.
We would do that?
Yes, we keep a list. And then the other beauty of that too is, if you have those items that are coming in and getting switched out, as long as you have adequate limits, you don't even have to report those, so you're not getting charged or nickel and dime for every change. Instead, what we do is you just have to have an 80% co-insurance limit. So if you have $2 million worth of contractor's equipment, as long as you have $1.6 million or 80% of that, you're set. You don't have to worry about reporting that stuff. And then at that annual review ahead of next time, I sit down with you guys and say, hey, you know, what have we had? You know, any big ticket items? This is where we're sitting. You know, and then we kind of true things up every year. But it makes life a lot easier for you guys. And it makes, and again, it fills in those gaps where we don't have situations where things are falling through the crack.
Okay.
So again, I think I'm getting at that. This is still all through the year. I'm not suggesting any type of a change. All of these changes that I've talked to you about, or these opportunities, as I kind of call them, they've been there for you guys. These are all things that have been there for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, all of them. The difference here is that I'm very familiar. I work a lot. I've got a lot of political subdivisions that I work with, and so I've worked through this stuff enough where I recognize it, and so it's bringing it to your attention. And so if it were something that you guys were interested in, again, what I would be asking is to be potentially put into place as your guys' agent of record. So it would be Rivera and myself. And I would work with you personally through all of it. This is not something that gets passed off to anybody else. It is me. That's how that would look. And so if that were something you were interested in, it's a very, very simple process. It's simply a signature or an agent of record, which we'd have you guys sign. And provide NDRF, which would allow us to have control so we could implement these changes for you.
Okay.
Any other questions or anything I can help provide or clarify?
What's a
big... Where are you out of?
I'm out of Bismarck. We have offices. I'm in this area quite often. I work often in Jamestown. We got offices in Carrington and Cooperstown and Northwood, and then now with banking in Fargo as well, I spent a lot of time in this area.
Where's your parent company on it?
Bismarck.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
What's a good phone number to get a hold of you, Scott?
I was going to leave cards with you.
Oh, okay, that'll work.
Yes, I could.
Yep. Very good. Thank you much, and we'll kind of go over it and see what's what.
Appreciate it.
Jeremy.
There you go. We got one. Okay. There we go.
Yep,
we got one.
Oh. This piece of paper.
So right now we do this basically manually, right?
No, we have this machine.
Okay.
It's just outdated. We've had it for 16 years.
Oh, yeah.
Plus.
It's still working?
It is still working. Like, Ademia does the maintenance on it. I think we got a new computer in it maybe 6 years ago. So they do all the maintenance. They can log in at any time. It basically just communicates with BCI when they bring somebody in and fingerprint them. It works with our jail program too, so we don't have to enter in all the information twice. So whatever we do in CIS, we can shoot over to live scan and all that information is put in. But the email said it's end of life on this machine and we need a new one. I did reach out to BCI to see if there was another company. There are other companies that make the machine, but Ademia has sole source contract with North Dakota, so their program is the only one that talks with BCI in North Dakota. So you're still looking at buying the machine, and still Ademia would have to come in and put their program on it. So
as far as the old one, they don't give you anything for trade-in or anything else?
No. Pretty sure they just scrapped the whole machine.
How end-of-life is ours? Is it unreliable? Is it can't get parts? Is it obsolete?
They won't do anything with it. If it shuts down, they won't do anything with it.
What are the odds of it shutting down?
In the last couple of years, pretty...
If it has?
Yeah. I've had issues with it in the last couple of years, but we've still been under contract with them, so they've fixed it.
And they don't want to continue that contract?
No, they won't. Not with this machine.
It's like anything, I'm guessing, it's a certain age.
Is any grants available or anything like this? Any grants available?
I can look. I don't think there is anything for LiveScan. I wish they would have given me a little bit more time than 15 days before the end of the year to tell me that it was end of life coming this year. But
is there a lease option where if a better, newer one comes along, we can just swap it for that?
No.
Because, I mean, you buy it, that's obsolete, and we're stuck with it. If we could lease it and after a couple of years roll it over into a new one?
I did not see any of those options in here, but if it does break down in that time period.
What is the warranty time on this?
They service it throughout until basically end of life. We pay for their service contract every year, too.
And that's about that $3,500?
Yep.
We're paying that now?
Yep.
Also?
Yep.
And they want that on top of a new one, too?
Yeah. Looks like it. It's on top of that. That price is already built into my service contracts because we pay for that every year.
Yeah, but on this page, it's $25,490 for the unit.
Yep.
And then we pay the $3,600 a month. Or
annual maintenance is just after first year warranty.
Yeah. Yeah. We basically get the first year for free.
Yeah.
After that, it's...
So if we buy this machine, normal. You don't have to pay that $3,600
per year. For year.
This
one.
Year.
This year.
Year
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little consolation.
Yeah. I have it in my budget for a new machine, but I get this and I won't be buying any new equipment probably for the rest of the year. I think I have $30,000 in my new equipment budget, so.
Well, soon you need to know on this. They want to know right away.
They want to know right away because I believe their turnaround is at least 3 to 4 months, I think I read in my email.
They won't have the new machine in for 3 to 4 months?
Yeah.
Or you? Yeah. Is ours adequate till then?
Yeah.
And they will not service ours after that period?
They won't, starting January 1st of this year.
But we're grandfathered in as long as until a new one comes, their service?
I would hope so. They would get us by until the new machine.
I would think so.
I mean, we've been working with them for over 16 years. I can't imagine they'd say, well, no, that's your problem until your new machine comes in.
This is the one where you put a fingerprint in and it brings you all the information back too, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, there's, it's
a hand. So it's probably new and improved inside of that too then, I would think.
Yeah, apparently they came out with a new program that's way easier to use.
What do you think? Do we have any choice on this?
I don't think so.
I'd say let's get him to throw in a 2-year contract on it for free. They ought to have that much faith in their new machine, I would think.
Yeah, looking at the picture, there's not much difference in the design of the... the life scan, so it's got to be all programming. Because that's pretty much what our machine looks like now.
Hmm. Ours can't be updated to the new program, apparently.
No.
What do you think, Vicki? Are you hearing this?
Yeah, I am. Did you say that old machine that you have is 18 years old?
16 plus. I don't know exactly when we got this machine.
And you're saying end of life on this new machine will probably be 8 years?
This new? No,
no, no.
I didn't say that.
End of life is on the one we've got right now.
Yes.
Why don't you call them up
and... if we went with this, we wouldn't have to pay the $3,600 maintenance fee this year?
This year, yeah.
Correct.
Why don't you see if they'll do a 2-year on that before we have to get a maintenance contract? I mean, they got to be able to stand by in their product that much, I would think. Because how many times a year do they come out to do anything to it? Or is it only when it breaks down?
No, they virtual. They log into the machine and do their maintenance every year.
Big brother.
Yeah. So do they ever have to come out and
I've had
physically fix it?
Maybe
hard
since
drives or anything?
I started over there again. Maybe twice.
Huh.
So 2019, so 6 years they've been out twice.
So it's a pretty good gig for them for their $3,600 service contract.
Yeah,
pretty much.
To scan it from their office.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can do the same thing in farm machinery.
Yeah.
And they troubleshoot it from there.
Yeah. I'd be okay with it if they'd give us 2 years on it.
Can you talk to them and see if they would do that?
Yeah, I can email them back and see if they'll do 2 years.
But you have that in writing about the $3,600, right?
The first year.
It's
here on our pamphlet we got.
The first year.
I would make a motion whether or not it would go through, but if they would give us 2 years on that before we had to start that service contract, I would be okay with it.
I'll second that and put it to a vote.
If they'll go along with it. Did you hear that, Vicki?
Yes, I did, and I agree.
And if they won't,
come back to the drawing board.
Price is good to us. He's due end of February, so you can come back.
So 2 weeks. We should be okay in 2 weeks. Did I say that?
Yeah. Your prices were up till, what, February 28th?
Yep. Because if they're not coming out anyway, or they're not doing much to it, basically they aren't using that 3,600 anyway.
So what's it do to you if this machine totally goes down? What happens?
Ink, fingerprints, waste of time.
Manual.
Mm-hmm.
We're not shut out of the water.
No.
It just slows your process down big time.
Okay. Extremely.
Instead of getting it instantly back, so we know what
you're doing.
And then if we screw up the charges in a case and then we have to fingerprint them again, we've got to bring that person that got arrested back, fingerprint them again, change the charges. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I'm just asking in case we delay it for 2 weeks and
something happens
and they won't service it. That's the only reason I'm asking.
And we don't have to pay for this until we actually receive it, right? I mean, we're not paying for it now and waiting 3 months for the new thing to come in.
I will ask that.
I'm guessing you got to put something down.
We probably got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a motion.
You got a motion in a second. Vicki, we're voting now.
Yes.
Sean?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
It's up to you, buddy.
Okay. So if they agree to it, just bring it over to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Nobody from the DOT yet. We got people coming in for that, don't we?
I am present.
Oh, you are? Okay.
About Teams.
And I'm speaking to who?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is Brad Dar. I'm the State Maintenance Engineer from the North Dakota Department of Transportation. I do have Chris Paul in my office with me as well. He authored the engineering document. And Jay Praska from our Valley City District is also online.
Okay.
I requested to be on your agenda today, and I assume you have a hard copy of my testimony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like, with Teams, do you want me to put it up on, do you have a screen there or not?
No.
I can do it either way.
Do you want it on the screen?
I don't need it on the screen, but does anybody else want it on the screen?
We're good. Yeah, we have it in front of us. So.
Okay, I do have the attachments and I can talk through them without it being on screen.
Okay.
But I will get started. I did request to be on your agenda today to discuss the state's limited 129,000-pound large truck network and get your thoughts for our director and our advisory committee's consideration. A bill was passed during the 2017 legislative session requiring the DOT to permit up to 129,000 pounds on a specific network of roadways, and then establish a process to add segments to that system. The permit's a $20 single trip permit with $10 routing fee or $100 a month or $700 a year per truck per trailer combination. That legislation required us to establish a request mechanism for commercial entities and for individuals who reside in the state to request specific conditions to the system based on their economic needs and outcomes. As mentioned, the process includes an advisory committee to provide input to the department and actions taken to adjust the system, taking into consideration the economic needs and benefits, investment and maintenance requirements, and safety. The system of roadways must keep all legal axle weights as they are today, and in addition, the loads must follow our federal bridge formula, which includes the inner and outer bridge for those that are familiar with trucks. And any length limits that are in effect. Our current request comes from Kurt Moogley. He's actually in the southwest corner of the state. He's got trucks going a number of different directions. For the one that affects Martin County is he'd like to come over on the interstate, which is already on our 129,000-pound large truck network, come down Highway 1 and over on 46 to Enderlin. So that's where it comes into place. So they're both state highways in your county. They don't show any getting off anywhere in your county. The catch to that is that once we approve the roadways for 129,000 pounds, then anybody can get a permit on that roadway. So it could, in the future, you know, allow boats coming off of from within your county to go over to Enderland as well. So, but and if they did that, they would have to have a county permit on your system of roadways. The designated roads that are being requested have a gross vehicle weight of 105,500 pounds on our state system, restricted to legal weight during our spring thaw, and there are no bridge issues on our system. I've kind of already described the route in your county. I do have some attachments to go with that, and that the attachments I have for you are the current system as it stands today for our 129,000 pound network. You can see that we have added some roadways, for example, in Grand Forks County, where for sugar beet piling sites, we've added them to some like Red Tail Energy here in the refinery here in Mandan, Red Tail Energy over by Richardson, and some others. So we have added some pieces to the system through the process. And we did provide his application. Like I said, he may be on if you have any questions of him. But he's shown some economic justification. We've also had the attachment of our spring load restrictions, which I mentioned. Highway 1 and 46 are both restricted to legal weight in the fall, so they're not restricted any further than that. And then I have also attached the current vehicle combinations map, which shows the current roads of Highway 1 and 46 being limited to 95 feet. As part of this process, we've considered allowing them to go up to 110 feet, and then they could truly carry the 129,000, bridge their weight, do no more damage to the paved roads than a traditional load, because the axle loads have not changed. So with that, I am willing to answer any questions. Hopefully get your thoughts on the addition to this roadway for our advisory committee, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, you also have on here Highway 32. Are you adding that in?
It's that 32, structure 32 that runs to 46. Yeah.
Just that one.
Yeah, right. It's 46 and 32 are the same roadway there.
All right. You're not talking 32 north to any other junction?
We are not.
Okay.
That's good, because that road's already beat to hell, so.
Yeah.
32 is beat to hell or 46? Because our
both of them are. My question is the road going to handle the weight on 46? Since it was just redone, we get to redo it again in 5 years because we're adding weight to it.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, the engineering theory behind it is we're not adding weight. We're adding more axles.
So I work for a farmer.
Per axle.
I work for a farmer. I go to the elevator all the time and watch trucks that are supposed to be loaded at either 80,000 or 105 go across the scale at 5 to 10,000 pounds over all the time. So
that is a legitimate concern, sir.
Damn right it is, because those roads can't handle it.
So what do you need from us as a commission?
Well, I've had it done a number of ways. Either a formal vote, or just the chairman giving us his guidance, or in one case, they didn't take an action. So it's really up to you. We're here to hear your thoughts as part of our public involvement for this advisory committee to make sure everybody's been heard.
So it is an option to not take any action at all, because it's state road. You're going to do it, so
it,
correct.
It is, yes. If you have no, I mean, I would take that as no opinion, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that is an option.
You're basically, and this is Bill, you're basically just looking for yay or nay from us to help support you in doing this is what you're looking for, correct?
Yep. Support us or we have denied permit, or we have denied segments of roadway, especially where they have to get off the county, off the state system in that specific county, and they're not willing to do it. They can't get where they're trying to go.
And segments
have been denied. But in this case, they're bidding off an Enderlin on some city or county roads to get to their elevator. Cass County will have a say in that as well.
And that would be my only concern is every time you get on a state road, you have to go from A to B somewhere along the line and get onto a county road or a township road or whatever it has it. That would be my big concern right there.
And that's a fair concern as well, sir. Like I mentioned, in Grand Forks County, you have the load pass permitting system as well.
Correct.
They do have 129,000 permit in their system, so if a county road could handle it, it could be an option for a county to allow it to get from point A to point B on a county road via permit. State law requires a permit to go up to $129,000.
I say we vote no.
Based on what, Vicki?
Like you said, the access roads to each of our little towns. I mean, they're not providing us with any infrastructure money to actually beef up them roads. I mean, if they decided that they would give us a boatload of money to beef up all the roads that would be accessed, I'd be okay with it. But right now, they're just
going to
wreck our
roads. Well, we can control access on our own roads ourselves.
Yeah, they're talking about state highways right at the moment.
Yeah.
But this load pass, will that automatically give them access to one of our roads? It will.
No.
You still have to go through load pass, which we're doing as we speak.
You would have to authorize load pass to add that highway to that system.
Yeah. And we would.
It kind of sounded that we would be permitting these people going across. Is there any way to stop them from being permitted?
Well, on the state highway system, if we approve the roadway, there would not be on the state highway system. There is no authorization at this time for them to be off of that state highway system onto your system unless you would authorize a roadway and they would get a permit through load pass or yourselves.
Okay.
So basically it's just state highway and we don't know where you're coming or going is a big thing.
Okay. As long as they're not on our roads.
Yeah. And as long as you're not on our roads, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Because it's your road.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. You can just make a declaration that's saying we're okay with it.
Too. I'll make a motion that, and this is Bill again, that we can follow along with your guys' recommendation because it's not going to affect our roads at the moment on weight-wise.
Great.
Very good. I do appreciate your time.
Well, and do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any further discussion?
So are they going to increase regulatory patrols on these roads then?
I can't answer that question for the highway patrol. I'm sure with a request from our Valley City District, if there was a concern, they would.
Okay.
I don't know what that exactly entails, but the number of times they'd be out there, I mean.
Okay. Roll call.
Mike?
Yes.
Vicki?
No.
Bill?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Sean?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. You have our support on your guys' roads.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Have a good day.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I still kind of think this is opening up for more heavier loads on our roads.
Well, we'll have to address that if it does happen, so. We virtually haven't got control on their roads.
Right. Yeah. All right, auditor's office, approval of the minutes. Everybody's got a copy.
I make a motion to approve.
Motion, is there a second? Motion and second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Julie, you got one liquor license renewal?
For Maryville, yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the Maryville.
Second.
Motion and second. Is there any further discussion?
This is the one that they just started here a year or so?
Last year, I suppose.
Yeah, this is the wine only.
Yeah,
for special events.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Vicki?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Do you want this thing signed, or you got one over there to sign?
I'll sign that one. Julie, you got anything else? No, I don't.
Okay, let's move on into commission discussion. Pete?
Well, we had an airport authority meeting yesterday. Elected the new officers for their corporation. Talked about the sale of the 3.1 acres of land where that transponder used to sit. We're going to advertise it three times this month, a week apart, and then tentatively set for February 2nd. The bid opening. Okay. The bids will be sent here to the auditor's office, and that morning the secretary will stop here and get the bids, take them up there, and we'll open them.
Okay.
And the bidder will, top three bidders will have a chance to raise their bids. So, and that date is tentative just to make sure we can get it advertised the right amount of times, that amount. So, new projects for the year, they're going to seal coat the runway in front of the terminals and that. Probably be August, September. He thinks probably September. So it may shut down the airport runways for temporarily. It's not a big deal. Their questions were not much on that, but they're wondering, everybody's wondering why the taxes were delayed. I explained to them the best I could about the three situations that happened. Their gas sales for the month were quite low because nobody's been flying in this kind of weather. Gas prices dropped quite a bit, so they expect more activity once it gets nicer. Other than that, that was good. The VA department, for December, they had 2,638 miles. They offered 54 van rides. They had 225 phone calls. 110 walk-in clients and 16 appointments. And she said lately more of their van miles are going to Jamestown. So apparently those services are more in need right now. I think that's where they have VA office there too. So, and We have an LEPC meeting next week, the disaster committee, and then the weed board is coming up also.
Okay.
So that is all I got.
Sean?
There was no social service meeting yesterday. Economic development and water is next Monday. Museum meeting's on Thursday, so I'll have something to report next time.
Okay. Mike?
Pancake feed coming up.
Pancake feed is the 19th.
And that's at the Eagles, right?
Yep, in the evening.
No, I have nothing pretty much over the last couple holidays here, and we'll have a couple next meeting, City County Health. We're going to do a couple this month, and 14th would be the next one. So, I don't have anything over these last couple weeks. So.
I get something about you. You got a temporary leader while Katie's on leave?
Yeah, she's on medical leave. So
okay.
Put on Megan Valera as the interim director down there. And that's part of the reason why we're going to have a couple meetings a month here as we move ahead. Yeah.
She's in office right now, right, Megan?
Megan's in the office right now, yeah.
Is this a long-term leave? Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. I'm not being nosy. I'm just saying how long we have to expect.
Right now it's listed up to February, but I think it will be longer than that.
Okay. Nothing should change.
Right now, visiting with Megan,
okay.
Right now, readjusting a few things.
Well, it's up to your board.
Yep.
You're confident that it'll work, apparently.
We're in about the first week of it, so
okay.
we believe we got a direction to go, yes.
Okay.
Vicki, did you want to try to say anything?
Just to let you know that the strategic planning, that meeting that we had at the library went very well. We're expecting a really good report to come back from the individual that's doing the planning. We approved the budget at the library, and HUD is working on installing the new boiler that they had bought, which was back ordered. That's about it for me.
Okay. Most of mine are coming up next week. I got reviews going over with NDSU Extension Office. I do that once a year, and that seems like it comes a lot.
That seems like you just did that.
Yeah. Otherwise, right now I have nothing. So.
Winter show, got the car show coming up, I see.
Yeah.
Planning for spring, I'm mean, or planning for the winter show.
Yeah. Nothing else, Julie?
Nope.
How's the new offices working out, Randy?
Good. It's just short of nice meeting space when you set out of over cases.
Oh, we don't have enough room.
Shane's got some ideas. We'll see what he does. Comes up with. This plate's going to be pretty full for a while.
We did get started with this lot out here they're using for everything for the heating.
Yeah.
So, maybe people coming and going. You guys all probably got the message from.
Yep. When's that project physically starting?
I think this week, wasn't it?
They were doing work yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
We're putting new heating and cooling in this 100-year-old courthouse, so it's a challenge.
Yeah, we started issuing badges yesterday, Ruffberg, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Short day.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, thanks everyone.
How was the drive from Bismarck this morning? Okay.
You know, I had some stuff yesterday, so I.